We are back. This is Torah 101 Daily. We hope that you have had a happy and healthy Pesach, Passover, and that you have begun to enter into the special days, the holidays of Adonai, the biblical days, even the days of Yeshua, Jesus. The Passover was so important to him that he said that he longed to eat of it, to partake of it with his students, but that he would refrain at that last Passover Seder, otherwise known as the Last Supper, until we partake of it together in the kingdom, he said. So Passover will be celebrated through eternity. So I like to tell people, get used to it now so that you are familiar with the special season called Pesach when you're there in the kingdom. There will be no Easter bunnies, no Easter eggs. All of those things are from idolatrous sources, idolatry that Rome under Constantine, wanting to appease the Roman pagans, the Roman idolaters, as they made Christianity, quote unquote, the national religion. They combined all of these ancient practices, such as the worship of Easter, Ashtar, which is a sexual goddess, and the eggs, of course, which represent sexuality and fertility, and also the bunnies. There's a reason why Playboy magazine uses the bunny for their logo. It's a sexual holiday, which most people don't realize when they celebrate it and when they encourage their kids to celebrate it with the eggs and the bunnies. It's all sexual. Ashtar was a sexual goddess that was permitted, you see, to be connected to the holiday of the resurrection of Yeshua the Messiah, Jesus. So we follow the holidays that God has laid out for us in His Word, in His Torah. And I hope you will begin to do so too. So we begin a new parasha here after Passover. The first parasha after Passover is typically this one. It's called Shemini, meaning eighth. We are in Leviticus chapter 9. We are looking at what is known as sort of the grand finale at the conclusion of the building of the tabernacle. Verse 1 of chapter 9, again, Leviticus, Vayikra. On the eighth day, Moshe called Aaron, his sons, and the leaders of Israel, and said to Aaron, "Take a male calf for a sin offering, and a ram for a burnt offering, both without defect, and offer them before Adonai." The ancient rabbis believed that the male calf here was representative of the forgiveness of Aaron's sin, of the golden calf, of his participation in making the golden calf or encouraging the people to do so, leading the people or allowing them to go astray back into idolatry. So a calf here, remembering the golden calf or looking back to that incident. for Aaron, this sin offering that is to be presented. And the burnt offering of a ram. But notice again in verse 2 that the animals were typically to be without defect. They were to be perfect specimens. But that is unlike the people, the humans, who would be receiving forgiveness from God and atonement for our wrongdoings, for we are flawed. The animal is perfect. We have this flaw, this imperfection of a sin nature that must be resolved. Here, it must be resolved before Aaron moves forward into his life, into his calling of the high priest before God. There must be a reconciling between his imperfections and God's perfect standard. So a perfect sacrifice, the animals who have no sin, our sin placed upon the innocent. This would be a picture carried out all the way through until Yeshua would die on that cross beam for our imperfection. As a matter of fact, the book of Revelation declares that Yeshua was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. In other words, from God's perspective, all of these animals, these perfect animals without blemish, are all going to be foreshadowing the reality of Messiah coming to earth, the eternal Messiah coming to earth and being the innocent, sinless, perfect substitute. Verse 3, then tell the people of Israel, take a male goat for a sin offering and a calf and a lamb, both a year old and without defect for a burnt offering, and an ox and a ram for peace offerings. Remember, the peace offering would come after the sin was atoned for, and the people would therefore have peace with God established once again, and they would celebrate the peace now that they have with God because their sins are dealt with and moved out of the way. Imagine if we celebrated, recognized, took time out, and offered from our hearts our own peace offerings, saying, thank you, God, for establishing peace with us. We have peace with you. The ox and the ram here in verse 4. Remember, these were costly. These were the prized possessions of their flocks. Moshe says, because Adonai is going to appear to you. Rashi, that medieval commentator on Torah, he said that this was to make his Shekinah, his Shekinah, rest in the work of their hands, the work of the building of the tabernacle, that is. And for this reason, these sacrifices are required for this day. So in order to have the Shekinah of the Spirit of God, his fullness and his power, the sin had to be put away for that power to become evident among them. And so it is with us. Within the new covenant framework, we are told to not let sin reign in our mortal bodies. Do away with it. To not quench the Holy Spirit through our sin. The Spirit becomes quenched. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. But the power and the fullness of the experience can be minimalized by unrepentant sin. Verse 5, they brought what Moshe had ordered before the tent of meeting, and the whole community approached and stood before Adonai. These are hundreds of thousands of people. Moshe said, "This is what Adonai has ordered you to do, so that the glory of Adonai will appear to you." Remember what Yeshua said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." And here the people encouraged toward purification and repentance so that they will see God. You want to see more of the Lord in your life? Consider your ways. All of us, consider the direction that we go. Consider our actions and our unrepentant sin so that we can see more of the power of God. Moshe told Aaron, "Approach the altar. Offer your sin offering and burnt offering and make atonement for yourself and the people. Then present the offering of the people and make atonement for them as Adonai ordered." The ancient rabbis taught that Aaron had to be encouraged by Moshe to approach the altar because of his own fear and his apprehension, even shyness. So Moshe had to order Aaron to do so. From one ancient commentary, it says that Moses said this to him, "Why are you ashamed to approach the holiness of God?" He said, "For this function you have been chosen as the Kohen HaGadol, the chief high priest." It reminds me of Hebrews within the New Testament 4:16, where it says, "Therefore, let us confidently approach the throne from which God gives grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace in our time of need." Don't be shy to approach God. Be bold. Be unafraid. He has received you and He has called you. This is Torah 101 Daily. Good to be back with you.